It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Welcome to Mumble Talk, the
podcast
number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Plum Love Foods Live here on a Thursday in November as we inch closer and closer to ending this god-awful year that we are in, friends. That's right. I've been told that it's professional to announce the date whenever you're on the radio, so I'm going to do that right now. It's November 20th. November 20th, 2020. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. In the big chair beside me tonight, unfortunately, we are without Jeffy. Jeffy is, you know, he's handling some business down south, but he'll be home very, very soon. But ladies and gentlemen, joining me, Good Brother himself, one of our favorites, the man with the plan, the one, the only, the closest to Rambo that I know, Chef Dan. Dan, what's up, brother?
Yo, what's up, man? I always wonder if I could follow your introductions as well as you put us out there.
Oh, but that's, you know, nice. I appreciate of you. It. That's nice of you. See, I almost gave you the the man with the plan. I forgot all of my good wrestling, like, you know, promos to put out there.
And then I just come out there with a chair and just bash somebody
something
in the back
like
of
that. I guess. Well, like I said, we appreciate you sitting in here tonight and being able to put up with me with Jeffy gone. We got a fun program tonight, man. We're going to be all over the board. Joining us a little bit later on, Dan, we got our friend Lindsay Santoro is going to join us in a little bit from Mohegan Sun. She's in charge of events, and I tell you why. I think it's important to talk about it a little bit just because of what we're in right now, just to find out how events are going and what is happening, you know?
Yo, for real, I think that's something that everybody's kind of waiting on. I mean, I had an event planned over this weekend, and I still don't know what they're doing or how they're planning it. Like, everything is so much on the cusp. You never know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen.
Totally.
How long we have to wait until something happens.
Right, you got to figure it out. And then after, a little bit later on, our good friend Chef Nick Callias is going to join us from the Lions Group to talk about how they're handling things in the pandemic right now, potential shutdowns. And, of course, if you guys know Chef Nick, it's going to be a bunch of dick jokes and a lot of making fun of me. So that's always fun.
Always a pleasure making fun of you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Hey, I wanted to start off tonight, though. I got a little something I just got to talk about for a second, Dan. Do you mind if I slide this soapbox over and step on it real quick?
Here, hold on.
Are you going to slide over for
me? You're good.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, there you go.
I am so tired of watching shit on the news, man. And, you know, I had a friend of mine talk to me today, and this individual is just very scared of what's going on. And if you sit around and watch the news all day long, I can tell you it makes sense why you'd be scared all day long. You know, one of the things that came up was that the pandemic is now killing 1,500 people a day, Dan. Did you know that? 1,500 people.
I've heard that.
You know, and honestly, it's a lot of people. It is a lot of people. But I want to just,
you could put numbers out there, man. When I told you I wanted to do this, what'd you say? You got like, oh, no, numbers. Like, it was hysterical because it's the truth. People just put numbers out there, like just numbers that don't mean anything. And I want to put some perspective on it for you. You mind if I do that, Dan? I've done a little research. I got research here.
Yes, please share your knowledge with the world.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Well, listen, it's a damn shame, and I hate to hear it, and God forbid if it's someone in your family. I know those numbers are crazy, but 1,500 people dying a day is terrible. I don't want anybody dying a day, but that's what it is. But in the whole scheme of things, let me just, like I said, give you some perspective. You ready for this? So pneumonia last year killed 50,000 people. Right? That's a lot of people for just pneumonia. And that's last year. These numbers are according to the CDC. That's 136 people a day, right? 136 people a day. That's a lot of people, Dan, don't you think? But still, you know, it's not quite as much as COVID.
That's a good amount. That's a good amount.
Flu season, 2018 and 2019, there were 35.5 million cases of the influenza with 34,200 deaths. And that's roughly 93 a day. Like, that's still a lot of people, right? So these are the things that you would think of. Right, it's crazy. It's the flu. But let me put some real knowledge on you now. You ready for this? The whooping cough last year. The motherfucking whooping cough, right? Whooping cough killed an estimated 451 people a day. 24.1 million cases. 160,000 people died. How crazy is that? The whooping cough. Now listen, it's nothing. I'm not making a joke about whooping cough. I'm just saying it's something you don't think about, you know? Right? Smoking. Smoking, right? Something that is a choice. People make a choice to smoke, right? Smoking cigarettes kills 480,000 people a year. That's 1,315 people die a day from smoking cigarettes. But we don't talk about that and scare the shit out of people, right? And again, I'm not taking a political side here, Dan. I'm just putting numbers out there. I'm putting perspective on that 1,500 number a day, right? Here we go. Ready for this one? The CDC estimates that 48 million people a year get food poisoning, with 351,000 people dying. That's 961 people a day die from food poisoning globally. How crazy is that?
I don't like that number.
Me either. This is the one that really struck me, man. This is the one that really, really struck me. I got the home run for you here that really puts a bow on it. Tuberculosis. You ever heard of it?
Yeah, consumption.
It's terrible, man. Tuberculosis killed 1.4 million people in 2019. Let me say that again.
What?
1.4 million people died from tuberculosis in 2019. You do the math, that's over 3,800 people a day dying from tuberculosis. How often do you hear about tuberculosis? You don't.
Yeah, not in the last 100 years.
Right.
That's old man shit. Wow, that's crazy. I can't believe that. That's insane. Tuberculosis, you don't even think about in that aspect. That's crazy.
Tuberculosis. I don't hear about tuberculosis, but it's over 3,800 people. That's me doing quick math in my head. Die a day from tuberculosis in 2019, but no one talks about that. So my point is this, folks. And again, I'm not trying to make a political statement, take a side. I'm just saying if you're going to, you know, watch the news and all that sort of stuff, man, understand that they're in the business of making money. And when they can say something like have the Fox News alerts or in the war room, those little stingers that come up before they give a news story, all that's about making money. They're trying to scare you, because if they scare you, you'll watch more television. And that's what it's about right there. So just have something to base those numbers off of. 1,500 people a day dying from COVID is terrible. It's an awful thing to hear. But it's double that for tuberculosis. Some of those other numbers I gave you, it's just, there's just so much more to it. Those numbers are just numbers if you don't have anything to put it beside. You feel me, Dan? Like, if I just start throwing numbers out there, it don't mean shit. But you compare it to other things, now it has some sort of comparable thing to compare itself to it. If you don't have that, then you're just saying numbers. I'm off the soapbox now. My friend who called me was very scared, and I don't like people to be scared of something that, listen, it's scary because the news is making it scary. That's it. I'm done. Sorry, Dan.
No, don't apologize. I mean, you're not wrong. It's true. 100% true. It's deep. It strikes fear into people. It's just like it did in war. Like, if it was a war, when there's a war going on, what are they showing you? They're showing you the bombs coming down. Right. They're showing you getting hit. They're telling you, oh, you have the potential of being bombed. You have the potential of being hit. It's the same thing. It's the war on the psyche.
That's it.
And that's what gets you.
That's it. And listen, I'm no genius. I'm a chef that makes dick jokes for a living. But in a few minutes of research, I got some perspective on those numbers that are being put out there. It took a few minutes of time. That's all I'm saying. Take a few minutes, do some research, and you'll see. Man, being scared to death is terrible, and I don't want anyone to be scared. So that's it, man. That's all I got. That's it. You know, COVID is a real thing. I'm not saying it's a real thing. It's scary. But, just, you know, understand that it's not as scary as maybe the news is pretending it's. And I don't want to be like I'm putting weird controversies out there, but you know what I'm saying. All right, I'm getting off the soapbox. That's all I got, Dan. Tonight, it's going to be a fun show. I know for a fact that I probably just lit a fire under somebody. I probably shouldn't have done that till after she was on, but that's okay. It's always fun to talk to her. When we come back, one of the things we're going to talk about too, Dan, I want to ask you about your job over at the pantry. How are you guys handling the pandemic with things that are picking up right now and the new rules coming out? We're also going to talk to our good friend, Lindsay Santoro. She is awesome. She is I'm using her maiden name now, too. I don't know why I did that. Our friend Lindsay Cady from Mohegan Sun, talking about events and things like that. So stay right there. We're going to be right back. It's your boy Chef Plum and Chef Dan joining us tonight. Pinch hitting for good brother Chef Jeffy. We love you, buddy. We hope to talk to you soon. We'll see you guys in a few minutes. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com. That's right. Plum Love Foods live here on a Thursday. It's your boy Chef Plum. Chef Dan joining me tonight. We're gonna get this show kicked off here as soon as this beat drops from our good friend Dan Abeast. Dan, what do you think?
Yo, I love these new beats, man. Them shit's been kicking it.
Yo, I'm digging it. It's new beats on the program.
Program, yes.
For the distinguished culinary gentleman, as Jeffy would say. Joining us right now on the phone is the queen of events that I know. She is one of the most well-connected individuals on the planet. One of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet. She's done nothing but ever take care of me at events and throws some pretty spectacular events with some serious A-list individuals. And not only that, she's a working mom who is kicking that llama's ass every single day, has a couple new projects coming up, and is, you know, in my opinion, the boss lady when it comes to going to places like Mohegan Sun. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one, the only, Lindsay Cady. Lindsay, how are you?
Hi, thank you.
Well, good, I'm supposed tired. To tell Dan to clap there if he didn't.
Your listen, energy is so high.
I told you. After a conversation I had earlier today, I had to get on the mic and preach a little bit because a friend of mine is just scared to death. Look, and I couldn't.
I was so happy about your preaching. I was like, can I log it? When can I start talking? I was like, yes. If people only put it in perspective of how many people die from shit every day, like
it's tuberculosis, though.
You know how I am, so I'm going to keep. I'm not even going to go down that road. That's a bad. I'll just keep going down.
Here's what blew my mind the most about it, Lindsay, was the tuberculosis numbers are mind numbing. Like I had no idea.
Yeah, you know what? I actually, it's funny, the whooping cough, I'm glad you brought that up because people always ask me my perspective right now with kids. And I'm like, look, when you have newborns, you're risking, you know, the risk of my, you know, when this came out, I had a 6-month-old.
Right.
And Rocco was 6 months in March, right, when this all came about. And of course, he was the one I was the most nervous for. And it's funny because statistically, my son had a bigger chance of dying from RSV, like almost a 6 times the chance of dying from RSV than even contracting COVID. So That's how my pediatrician broke it down. Wow. And it's like, you know, no one talks about that. No one talks about the 20,000 babies that die of RSV every year in our country that there's no treatment for. So it's kind of, you know, I think if people talked to their doctors and, you know, pediatricians and medical professionals a little bit more, it would probably make them feel better than whatever the bad box they're watching or the news feed is telling them.
Just get more than one opinion. That's all. Just talk to more people.
Yeah, that's
all.
Do
a little research.
That's all. Yes. You can't keep, you know, when things start feeling weird or, you know, you start questioning the narrative a tiny bit, you should definitely talk to those who are, you know, talk to someone who's actually seeing COVID patients. Right. Why don't you just talk to them? Or talk to your pediatrician if you're worried about your kids doing something. Don't just assume because you hear something. You know, it's just like anything as a mom. You don't just go off one opinion. What mom has, you know, there's not a lot of moms who do that, you know?
Yeah,
but for some reason with COVID, everyone is doing that. And it's really, not everyone. I would say it's about half and half. But I you know, it's sad to me because I think I know how short life can be. And I hate seeing, you know, people afraid to do stuff when, you know, a lot of stuff could happen to you. Before COVID, a lot of stuff could happen to you, you know.
Tuberculosis or the whooping cough, or apparently malaria is a whole other number, too, that we should talk about. But all that
tuberculosis
aside,
really, yeah, that really threw me off. I had no idea.
It's crazy.
I never thought to even look that up.
Right,
yeah.
Tuberculosis, you know. But that's you know, one of the things I admire most about you, Lindsay, is that you were talking about being a mom, is the fact that you are a mom. You have a newborn for the, I mean, it's still a newborn to me.
He's a year. He's 14 months now, but
you are a big wig at a massive casino that does amazing events, and somehow you managed.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't call myself a big wig, but I know. I know all the right people. How about that?
I said it. You didn't. You didn't. But
that's great.
Obviously, with all this stuff happening right now, events are cut back a little bit.
Sure.
You dealt with that? How are you handling that? What are you doing for work?
So I feel like myself, and I think you know Lauren Willard. She did she held down Food and Wine. She does a lot of the operational side of Food and Wine, and helped me a lot when I was on maternity. But she's we have, like, I'm not gonna lie, I feel like we have therapy sessions once in a while. Where, like, you know, we like kind of brainstorm till we can't brainstorm anymore, and you know. I think when this first happened, we definitely thought we'd be doing stuff in the fall on a smaller scale. Now, her one team is busy doing private giveaways and stuff like that side. Promotions and giveaways have still kind of happened. That's just gone full force since we can't really do events. We just started kind of doing some programming at night, at like trying to do some acoustic acts with a smaller capacity at some of our venues, and that kind of got shut down because now we have to close at 9:30 for some reason. So, you know, I think it's kind of more of just like wondering, kind of peeling the band-aid off. It's like, when are we going to be able to just do something, right? We do brainstorm. You know, it's funny. I had a meeting with my boss today, and, you know, we are looking to kind of do some programming, you know, as early as February and maybe in January, again, smaller. And then I think the thing that we're doing now is kind of an A option, a B option, and a C option, right? Almost like how schools are doing it. So it's like, okay, A is if we can have this much for capacity. B is like, okay, how do we make this COVID safe? Obviously in February, you know, we're talking about Super Bowl, right? We usually throw a big Super Bowl party and for private players, we obviously can't do that. So it's kind of like, okay, how do we still kind of do that and create an environment having fun without it being digital? Like, and I have some ideas, but you know, it's like, how are we utilizing the hotel room? So, you know, it's really kind of brainstorming, and also it's kind of feeding off of what's going on. So it's like, you know, it was busy towards the end of summer. I mean, our casino was there was traffic, but it's awkward. You know, now it's like, now that things are spiking, you definitely notice the decline, you know, people aren't running to the casino because the casino in Massachusetts shut down, where if it was any other time that would happen, you know what I mean? So it's just like observing the trends and really doing what every single other person is doing. And I know, like, you guys being in the restaurant industry, it's just kind of like trying everything. You know, I think I've talked to you before, is I'm really big on private parties right now. I'm really big on looking at that capacity, you know, controlling the party size and kind of maximizing sales in that way. I feel like that is kind of the safest and most lucrative way to do things. You know, I'm impressed with Mohegan. They went through a lot of, they went through a lot to make the place and the space safe. But yeah, there's, yeah, it's yeah. tough. I mean, I was just saying, it's almost now to the point where it's borderline depressing. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to bring this down, but it kind of is. It's like, you know, because every time you're kind of hopeful, like I know Lauren and I were really hopeful that we would at least be maybe able to do some programming in January. More public, you know, I know she did a Veterans Day, more spaced out kind of event, last weekend, but, you know, we were really hoping to kind of at least do a small dinner.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Series or something in January, and just the media alone, it makes you scared to do anything. I mean, they're out for kill. You know what I mean? And it's like, you kind of don't want to put yourself in that position. You obviously don't want anyone to get sick, but you obviously also don't want to be that guy, right? Like, you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy.
Because they would be everywhere. Oh, look, Mohegan Sun's doing their own thing, and now there's, you know,
well, that's the thing, you know,
or something.
Yeah, I mean, we are already under scrutiny for things just because of our name and our size. And, you know, it's like we already, you know, are kind of watched before COVID for things. And it's like, you know, you just don't want to be that example, right? You don't want to be that. You don't want those headlines. But I will say, our teams have gotten creative on renting space, right? So I don't know if you've seen, I think they just put the press release out. And if not, you guys are going to find out. But ESPN.
So Lindsay,
is
I was
making,
curious real quick.
And, yeah.
Yeah, Lindsay, because you said, so I just kind of want to go back a little bit. You said how 9:30 affects your time. I mean, me, I was under the impression like the native land and the casinos were untouchable by like state laws and stuff. So how is that coming and affected you?
So, great question. And it's honestly, you know, they don't have to if they don't want to, right? Some of the food service is still open, but the venues, we do try and play by the rules because, quite frankly, the governor doesn't want us open at all. So, you know, he doesn't want us open. He didn't want us to open in June. We did that. We did use, you know, we are a sovereign nation, so they opened in June without the governor's blessing.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they, yeah. So I think they're just trying not to really cross the line too much, because technically we would have opened in, if we did it the way they wanted us to do it, we would have opened in August when they opened phase three, and it would have been, you know, probably for like a week or something. I don't know.
But so, you can open if you want to. If you just wanted to open up and just be like, you know what, I don't care about the rules. Yep. We're just going to do what we want to do. Everybody come here, party it up, and they could do that.
You could, but we wouldn't. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I'm just curious. Like, I just wonder how far, like, what.
Okay. I think that, I'll put it this way. I do believe that if there was another kind of shutdown situation, that we would not fully shut down. I do think that we're not going to play with fire as well. We're not going to have an arena concert just because we can, because,
right.
A, no one will agree to it, and there's like lawsuits, and it's just like, honestly, the PR alone is just not worth it. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. It'd be a nightmare. I can only imagine, like, if, let's say, it would cost more money.
Yeah.
And it would just be a nightmare.
Yeah. It would just be a nightmare. And, but yes, I mean, technically they can do what they'd want to do. I mean, they're just not a business that operates like that though. So, I mean, we could technically serve liquor, you know, I think. No, actually, no, I always go back and forth with that.
Serve as late as you want.
But anyway, there's, there's a reason we can't. I don't know. It's whatever. Anyways, here nor there, we're not going to be those guys.
Well, Dan had chimed in and asked a great question, which actually was a great question, Dan. But you were about to break some breaking news for us there. You said a press release hasn't come out, or it's about to come out. We're going to...
Oh, no. Like, well, we're doing, you know, NCAA is taping a bunch of college games there. I don't know if you heard that, but yeah. we're taping, you know, ESPN was filming. So that's a way we're utilizing our space. I think we have over, like, 50 college teams coming in and out. And if I can tell you, the coordination of that is insane. One of the girls that works with me is just, ooh, she's like MacGyver, you know, with the rooms, because you can only have certain capacity. Each team, you know, there can only be a certain number of teams staying in the hotel rooms. They each have to have their own floor. There can be no cross of any team. They all have to be tested. If anyone comes, it is like, you know.
How many rooms does one
crazy,
team need?
But,
how many rooms do they need, that they need or they get?
Oh, I'm not really sure. But like probably a whole floor. Like a team usually gets like a whole floor,
yeah.
Maybe two floors, but depending. They're trying to keep it for, you know, each floor is, you know, the team. But so we have that going on. You know, UFC has been there filming and utilizing our arena since the summer. So they have a contract with us. So, you know, they've pretty much been living in our hotel, working from there, which has been,
so they know the perspective of this, like, because, you know, maybe some people, this is the show's national, so, you know, Mohegan Sun, the arena, I mean, the arena fits what, 20,000 people? Like, it's a massive arena.
It's not that big, but it's like 10,000.
Okay, 10,000 people, sorry. I was picturing, you know, I'm giving pro wrestling lines. It fits 38,000 people, Dan. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
Amazing.
But still, it's a big place. It's a giant.
No, it's
arena.
A big arena. It's a ticket. It's a Live Nation venue. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
I wonder about the gambling aspect of it. Like, do they have like digital poker? Like, do they like set up tables where like five guys zoom in and there's like a dealer and they can do it all like live or something like that? Because I feel like gambling would be the biggest hit, because all the arena, all that other stuff is brought there so people come and, you know, gamble. So how are they doing?
Well,
what are they doing to break that up?
So gambling's fine. Numbers, you know, are obviously challenging. A lot of it's the travel restrictions. But, you know, gambling can actually kind of still operate because it's smaller anyways. You're already with your group. A lot of the bigger players play privately anyways, but they're not usually, you know, playing on the floor, bigger players, you know. They play privately in a room,
right,
or in a private pit. So, that's kind of run its course. But you would be surprised how much non-gaming revenue that building generates, especially from conventions and especially from, you know, we have an expo center that we were hosting events every day of the weekend, and a convention center. When that all goes away, you would be shocked at, you know, gambling, you know, the gaming end is keeping us afloat, obviously. I mean, and it always does, but there are some definite things that we, you know, just a couple of years ago was the first year in Vegas that, you know, non-gaming revenue actually exceeded gaming revenue. Non-gaming is now a big player in a lot of casinos. So you definitely can't ignore that. I think being able to gamble keeps us, our lights on. You know what I mean? So.
Absolutely. And, you know, the best thing about Mohegan, every time I go there, it's like a big, I don't know, amusement park for adults. I have the best time. You know, last time I was there, it was 2 a.m. and I was riding a mechanical bull, and I don't even know my own name.
That's great. Probably at comics. No, yeah. It's fun. It's like something for everyone, and that's kind of why it's hard for us, because we're so used to that. Like, you know, you can go to a show, you can go out to dinner, you can go gamble for a little bit, you can go, you know, then go dance, then go, you know, so it's definitely been an adjustment, but I do think they've been really creative on, you know, at least having our space be a location for people to do things digitally, you know, like UFC and the NCAA. I mean, those are big contracts, and you know, we're trying our best to kind of stay, you know, help everyone you know, be a venue that's safe, that people can come and do things. And, you know, everything's kind of one spot. It's not like you're going to an arena in a separate building and then going to a different hotel. You know, again, it makes life a lot easier when you can do everything in one space.
Well, I tell you what, when this all clears up, Lindsay, you got to help us out. We want to come do a podcast with one of those Bellator fights that happen over there. We have some friends who work in Bellator, so it'd be really fun to come hang out with those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Do the podcast there. And it gives them a chance to do media, too, so that's always fun.
Yeah, I'm sure they're always wanting to do stuff, so.
Well, before we get you out of here, and we appreciate your time tonight, I know it's late night for you, but you have another project that we don't have to talk a lot about if you don't want to, but I'm very excited for you. I think you're going to be awesome at it. You're going to dip into that thick Rolodex you have and do something really cool. Can we talk about it or no?
Yeah, we can talk about it. I mean, it won't be a secret in a little bit, but yeah, I mean, I'm going to try doing what you do, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe doing a little podcast fun. Yeah. I'm, you know, obviously I can't sit still, so not having a full list of events, I become extremely politically inclined, which I need a distraction from politics. So, which you know very, very well. So, every time Chef Plum calls me, I literally talk to him for 30 minutes about what's going on and whatever. So I needed a distraction. So I got my real estate license, and then I was like, well, I'm going to start a podcast.
Well, you doing a podcast is a great idea. Dan, you know some of the events that she's done at the casino and at the...
Yeah.
I mean, think of how deep that Rolodex is, Dan, you know?
Oh, there could be some very, very interesting conversations I could see.
Yeah. And that's kind of the vibe. It's kind of that, you know, I've that I've personally tossed around a bunch of ideas, but yeah. I'm kind of going to go with, you know, more of just open forum. I meet all these awesome people, and I would love for people to see kind of what goes on behind the scenes, maybe talk to some reality stars or just like people in general and kind of look at them in a different perspective than you might think, you know.
Well, we're excited about it, and you know that your friends here at Plum Love Foods Live would be more than happy to help any way we possibly can. When it's time to launch, you have to come back on for a few minutes and tell everybody where to find it and help promote it.
Yes, for sure. Working on it. It's going to be fun. We're getting there.
I can't wait. Well, Lindsay, we appreciate your time. You are a hustler, that's for sure, and, you know, much love to you. We can't wait to see what events come up, and I'm sure that... the casino realizes how much of a hustler they have in you. At least I hope they do.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I always say I'm just lucky that they felt I was important enough to do that call back after this whole situation. So I'm like, cool. Like, we're good.
Yeah, that's great, right?
But, yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Well, you're
I'm glad
best.
I was able to stay awake.
Hey, you did a good job. Like, you stayed awake. You were good to talk to. It worked out fantastic. You did a great job with it.
Yeah, never introduce me by talking about statistics again. That was hardest thing ever. I was like, I'm going to unmute and just start talking.
But look, it fired you up. That's what we wanted.
Yep.
No.
Going for it.
All right, I'll talk to you soon, okay, Lindsay? Right. We appreciate your time. Get some rest, stay safe, take care of them babies, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye, guys.
See you. There she goes. There she goes, guys. Lindsay Cady from Mohegan Sun talking a little bit about just how events have changed. I mean, Dan, can you imagine where you run venues, massive venues, and you can't put people in them? Unbelievable, right?
Well, it's just the awe-inspiring Mohegan Sun. You stand there, and there's people, like, everywhere. And you think that place is empty, and people aren't going there for these events. It's just mind-boggling. Like, it's just like, wow,
it's crazy.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's wild.
Crazy. And people got to be upset about it a little bit, you would think, right? People who work there, or, you know, the big wigs. I mean, somebody's got to be the owner, right?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, and the people who work there, the people who work outside of there. I mean, there's other businesses around Mohegan Sun that are also being affected by it. You know, restaurants outside and all that other stuff. Like, that's a hub. You go there, that's the thing that's there, but there's a little group of things outside, out in Norwich and out in New London, and that thrive off of Mohegan Sun, and that they're not getting that either, so it's a trickle-down effect.
That's it, man. That's it. You're calling it perfectly. Well, you know who else is upset there, Dan?
Who would that be?
The internet. The internet is very upset at someone I thought would never make the internet upset. Alton Brown from the Food Network has seemed to upset the internet. Oh boy, this is one of those moments where you see what happened here, and you just really want to ask him or tell him to
shut up, dummy.
It's honestly the things that he said. Let me read to you what happened. Did you see this article?
I did read the article. Yes.
I mean, unbelievable. Alton Brown, the 58-year-old Alton Brown, by the way, 58-year-old, went on a Twitter storm, a Twitter rant, if you will, and talking more about politics and the world, and seemed to think it was a good idea to say things like, quote, "So when they move us into camps, do you think they'll let us choose the state? I'm going to ask for Kansas because the sky is so gorgeous there." Over the wheat, he wrote. He also added, "Do you think the camp uniforms will be striped like the ones at Auschwitz? Or will they be plaid? Or will plaid be in vogue?" Unbelievable. He said he had no gold fillings when Twitter responder said the uniform would depend on his personal wealth.
Oh my goodness, man. Yo, Alton Brown is something else, man. I don't know, but you know, I know Alton Brown, he went against the grain when he started doing his little food thing back in the day. So right. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of comedians now coming out saying things that, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago would have been, you know, hilarious. And now people say things and people are like, damn, why'd you say that? So
right, exactly. You know, I mean, there's a lot of jokes that were funny 10 years ago that wouldn't be very funny now. And that's a little sad. But, you know, I tell you, He ended up saying that he's deeply frightened for the country, and you know, he was insisting that the Holocaust reference was not meant for humorous effect. How about this? You just don't bring it up. Can we just not bring it up? I mean, the world's a very delicate place right now, Alton, and I don't think you should be bringing that stuff. And I like Alton. Alton was very friendly to me when I was on Cutthroat Kitchen. You know what Alton said to me as I left?
What is that?
Chef Plum, I was excited to meet you. It's far too early for you to leave.
Oh.
How about that?
You let him down, man. Damn. That's
I know.
Rough, man.
I made him laugh a lot, though, so that was good.
That's good, yeah.
But he has since apologized for his Twitter outrage. So what I want to get at here is, I mean, are they going to fire Alton Brown?
Honestly, I feel like this day and age, if you make enough noise that they have to make an article about you, you just get fired.
That's it. There's no
question. It don't even matter.
Right. That's it. Well, listen, I don't know, man. I get it. He's making a joke, and people should be able to make jokes. And listen, I'll ask you one more final question about this, and maybe we'll talk to the boys about it later on. You know, when Alton Brown makes a comment like this, if a comedian made it, it wouldn't be quite as a backlash. Do you think that's true?
I mean, it depends on the comedian. I think... And that kind of goes back to perspective and everything else. Like, it's just like when a star says something about, you know, child sex trafficking. And you're like, oh, you know, you're a movie star. What do you know? Like, you don't know that person's life or what they did or why they did it. You know, it comes from, you know, different avenues and different perspectives. So when us as the entertained, we look at things from our perspective, and you see an Alton Brown who's a food guy. He did, you know, the Iron Chef, and he did the Cutthroat Kitchen, and then he says something like this, and you're like taken back, like, wow, why would he say something that? And then you say somebody like Dave Chappelle says something like that, you wouldn't be as blown away because it's Dave Chappelle. Of course, he said something like that.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, who's saying it, when they're saying it, why they're saying it, all plays that out.
It's unbelievable, man. I don't know. Well, I like Alton Brown. I understand what he's saying there. T's and P's to Alton Brown. And before we move on to our next guest, Dan, we got to talk. We haven't brought it up yet. You've got a big poll right now. You got the Dan's big poll on the internet right now happening on the Instagrams. Dan, what's on the poll?
Well, so we got the poll is about food and what controversial food one might eat. And the poll for today is either scorpion or donkey meat.
Oh, okay.
And
you can find that poll on the Instagram. You go there, find at Chef Plum on Instagram, look in the stories. You can find the poll there and vote on that. We're going to talk about that here shortly. Or you can also go to Chef One Above All, check out his Instagram. You can vote on the poll right there. That's Dan. It's the biggest poll on the internet. Dan, you have the biggest poll on the internet.
Biggest poll. Hey, I try. You know, it's not easy maintaining that poll.
That's right.
But, you know, everybody has to do their part.
Controversial meats, a controversial food. Check it out there. Joining us
foods.
On the program right now, he's an American treasure, in my opinion. He is one of the best chefs in the country, in my humble opinion. And not only that, he's also one of my close buddies. An incredibly talented gentleman, a fantastic father, an amazing, amazing bowler, too. I don't know if you knew that, Dan, or maybe you did know that. Joining us on the program right now, the one, the only Chef Nick Callias from the Lions Group. Give it up for him. There he is. Joining us on the program.
You!
There he is.
What's up, guys?
Chef, how are you this evening, brother?
Ah, great. You make me blush every time I talk to you.
I love you, man. Come on. Listen, it's one of the, you're one of those guys when we first
I love you
met.
Too.
When we first met, I said, that's my dude. I like that dude a lot. That's my guy. And we became good friends.
And he gave me homemade mayonnaise.
I did. Dan, did you know that? Chef and I met when we were in New Orleans. He needed some mayo, and I made a 14 and a half gallons of it. And I said, I've got mayo, Chef. Do you need some?
That's the way to everybody's heart, mayo.
It is. So, you know, that's the first I heard of Alpha Broughton's tweets, because I've been busy, but ouch, those are some tough eats.
That's tough. Oh, nicely done. Nicely done. Damn. I mean, but seriously, Chef, what do you think? If a comedian makes those same comments, is there the same backlash?
Oh, God, no. I mean, yeah, no. Comedian, they're going to take it off as funny. Alton Brown's totally different. I mean, he's such a scientific culinarian, and people are going to take that serious. That is, yeah, that's not good.
Wow. Well, coming in here on the instant feedback, our friend Mr. Knife, a.k.a. Mike Stive from Ergo Chef, is chiming in saying he heard that Alton came out as a Republican publicly and people stopped following him. Crazy. I mean, I don't know. Like, do we hate chefs because of who they like politically? Or is that just the world we live in now?
That's just the world we're in now. It's unfortunate.
Sorry, I was drinking my drink. That comments like that make me want to drink. I don't know. I don't get it. Well, listen, Nick, you're the man. We appreciate you taking some time to join us tonight. The world is changing. COVID.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Has kicked out of our finisher. It's making a comeback. I'm reaching for the hot tag, but I can't get it. It's beating me down. It's about to hit its finisher on me again. COVID is back, baby. How much is it affecting you guys so far?
Yeah, it sure is back. You know, I got home tonight. My daughter's class sent me 4 questions from kids asking about the charity work that I do and asked me to do videos on the charity work and how COVID has affected that, you know, and you kind of start reflecting on the last 8 months and, you know, charity work aside, you know, what I was saying to the kids is it's our employees, it's our fellow brothers and sisters. It's been rough, man. You know, we laid off a lot of people with the Lions Group. We had no choice. You know, we have to survive and, you know, bringing back all the venues and, you know, things are going well. You know, people were coming inside. We put in barricades at all the seats, all the tables. We put UV lights in, which just kills 99% of the bacteria in the air. Wow. We were doing things right, you know, clean, organized, masks everywhere, sanitation everywhere. Things were going well in most of our venues. And then we're going to make you have a drink in Boston. You have to have food now. And it has to be a homemade food. It can't be a chip or it has to be a shareable dish. Okay, now that's done. Great. Now we're going to have a curfew at 9:30. Everyone needs to be out of your restaurants.
Unbelievable.
That was a tough one. They pushed it to 10 where you can't serve any kind of food and beverage after 9:30.
Right.
But they can stay until 10.
I mean, do you figure that basically, like, you know, just old school math from old school restaurant guys like me, you know, I figure 90 minutes per table turn on average. Is that kind of the same thought?
Yeah, you know, depending where you're at. You know, if you go to our restaurants like Scampo or Sanzi or Rochambeau, you know, we're looking at a lot of seating at 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
And you're there till 10. But, you know, so when they first said 9:30, dead stop, everyone out, we're like, great, we just lost a lot of seating. But, you know, as the Lions Group, we have many venues, Alibi, Lucky's, Lansdowne Pub, that don't get busy till 10 o'clock.
Right.
You know, it's a nightclubs. It's been rough. You know, we see it every day. You know, the weather has been great this week, but we had 4 inches of snow on the outside table last week.
Wow.
So it's a battle every day.
Unbelievable, man. It's like they're sending you out to battle, but not giving you any arms. You know, they just keep. I mean, I have friends of ours. We talked last week to our good brother Matt Storch. You know, he's smaller, but he's got a restaurant that's been around for 20 years, and they do a great job. He's won awards. They're doing a really, and their food is fantastic. And he's like, brother, I don't know if I can make it. He goes, that last table turn, you know, that 8:30 seating we might have done generally might have been the only profit the restaurant makes, but you do that over the month a couple of times, at least it can pay your bills.
Yeah. It's a scary thing. It really is. You know, the good news is with, you know, Pfizer and the other companies come up with the vaccines, you know, granted, healthy oxes like yourself won't see it till the summer.
Adonis-like oxes, by the way. if you don't mind. 250 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. No?
But, you know, hopefully...
You know that's how you address me when you text me. You're like, hey, 250 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal.
I just put stud name in the answer, so I mean it. But, you know,
yeah,
hopefully with the vaccines, people will start getting more confidence, you know, and it's not about, you know, people will take them or not take them, unfortunately, but, you know, the elderly, the children, the compromised immune people, and those people start taking them, hopefully people start feeling more comfortable and, you know, start heading out again, because, you know, what we need is consumer confidence. We need chefs to do things right, front of the house people to do things right, and to have that consumer confidence to get people back in.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. I mean, Dan, what do you think, man?
Chef. Yeah, so, Chef, do you worry that, you know, they're going to put more restrictions on the colder it gets and make it even more difficult? And, you know, how do you think that could affect you in the future?
Every day. Every day we're thinking of new things to do. Every day we're thinking new ways to combat it. New ways, you know, we're thinking the worst at all times. Okay, what are they next? What if they shut us down inside dining? What are we doing? You know, so we started doing, you know, doing things out of the ordinary. You know, Rochambeau is a French restaurant. I'm going to serve Mike in the cafe. We're going to turn it into a sushi and poke bowl so people get to go. Sanzi, I'm going to do ramen out of my restaurant, Back Bay Social. I did a Mexican street food to-go menu. So we're trying to go different avenues to give people more options where they can go to one of the restaurants, like, oh, I can get, you know, a steel chicken postier, or I can get Mexican arancinis. Awesome. You know, and be able to kind of get more appeal to people to find new ways to create and do more with less.
Yeah, I saw that lobster pie you sent Plum. I was kind of jealous. That shit looks delicious. I'm going to have to order me one.
Yeah, you know, we, Summer Shack's one of our brands. You know, you speak of Mohegan, we have the Summer Shack Mohegan. Which, you know, I'll tell you what, is probably doing the best out of all of our restaurants in the entire company.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, some of those people just don't care. They're just going to they got to hit their slots. what, virus? Where's my coin?
Right.
You know, so they started doing, you know, we started working on dumplings and doing dumplings to go, and we were thinking about that and looking at it and talking to some people about processing it, but, you know, the dumpling can only cost you 7 cents if you want to be able to make money. You can't make a lot of dumpling for 7 cents.
Yeah.
So we started doing these lobster pot pies, and to date, we have sold, I think, 450 across the country in the last about 3.5 weeks.
I mean, they arrive in beautiful packaging, a great thank you note. I mean, they taste delicious. Dan, you should definitely order one, man. It's not even that expensive. And how many people do those things feed?
Yeah, it's $60 for a pie, and it feeds probably about 6 people.
And giant hunks of lobster meat.
Yeah, Chef nice. Dell, who's my culinary director for Summer Shacks, he oversees Mohegan, Boston, and Cambridge. Super great guy. Worked with Jasper White ever since he's been in the country. He's only worked for Jasper White. And he came up with the idea to do these, and, you know, they're selling. So, you know, they do Thanksgiving turkeys. It's odd, but they sell whole turkeys to go through Summer Shack. They've sold 150 so far and 60 pot pies.
Damn.
So they're going from Boston to California.
They come out amazing. They're delicious. And how can people get those if they want them?
yeah, if you want to get a lost spot pie, you just go to summershack.com, and it's the first thing that prompts up on the page. You scroll down, you put in your address and your zip code, press order. It'd be a house in a couple of days.
Or you can just call area code 617-82... Just leave
they make
message.
Them from scratch in the restaurant every day when they get orders.
Oh, wow.
They, you know, Chef Dell's wife actually makes them.
So they make them to order.
Yep. Yeah, there's no manufacturer. They make them right in the restaurant.
All right, that's pretty badass. I dig that a lot, man. That's awesome. Well,
yeah, brother... Chef Dell's wife makes them and our dumplings. You know, last week, like, Dell, how's your wife doing? Yesterday she made 2,000 dumplings and 45 pies.
Yeah, she's happy about
you
that.
You're right?
Wow. That's beast mode right there.
I hope y'all paying her a little bonus money or something. I listen, I told you, I'll make the pies for you, but I just want $1.50 from each one that sells. Plus a regular rate. You know, it's like a royalty deal or some shit for perpetuity.
Your face on the top.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, we'll just paint the crust. We'll paint the crust purple.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, brother, it's crazy. I know that you have a lot on your plate and a lot of restaurants and a lot of things going on right now with the way the world is so uncertain. But if there's one human being on the planet that I could pick that I would trust to be able to make this work, it would be you. And I mean that.
Thank you, brother.
Not me. I would just make a bunch of dick. We'd have a great time, but you actually would get the work done.
We always have fun, my friend.
That's it. Well, Nick, we got a couple, a little bit, another whole segment here. We'd love to keep you on if you want. Dan's got some funny-ass controversial foods we want to talk about. You can stick around for a few minutes?
Yeah, I can stick around for a few.
Awesome. That's good stuff. And Dan, while we're talking, can you give everybody's info on where they can follow Chef Nick?
Yeah, Chef Nick on Instagram, ChefNick52. Grab yourself one of them lobster pies on summershack.com. And then Jeff told me something about a fans-only page.
Oh, Jesus.
Sexy Chef, something or another. I don't know. Just...
A fans-only page.
Jeff has the code.
He's got. There's a promo code for that? I didn't know that.
Just promo code, yeah.
It's Jeffy P. Is that what it is? Damn, that's terrible. Yeah, make sure you follow Nick there, man. And Nick's a great guy to always ask questions of. And if you reach out to him, he'll get back to you. And like I said, America's favorite chef, Chef Nick Callias. He's the man. And his amazing wife. That's the thing. I like you a lot more now that I know your wife well.
Yeah, most people do.
Is that how it works? Joining us now here on the program, good brother Chef Frank Bellotti from Hell's Kitchen. Frankie, what's up, buddy?
What's up, gentlemen? How we doing?
Living the dream. We got Chef Nick. Say what's up to him. And, of course, Dan joining
us here.
What's
up, Chef? How you doing?
Hey, how are you, Chef?
Very well. Very well. Thank you.
Dan, one of the things I guess we should start with here is that the biggest poll on the internet is run by you currently. Dan, tell us the question you had on Dan's big-ass poll tonight.
So controversial foods. I know there's a lot of things people aren't crazy about eating and things that cause people to want to fight over the things they're eating. And we put a poll out there, donkey meat or scorpions, and what kind of food you would prefer to eat on any given day, I guess.
Well, before we talk about what the internet is saying, Nick, if you had to pick there, donkey meat or scorpions, and how would you prepare it?
Oh, donkey meat up all day long.
Did you say donkey meat au poivre?
Yep. A little peppercorn, a little brandy cream. There we go, baby.
That actually sounds good.
Well, fuck, of course you think it sounds good. Frank, what would you pick? Would you take scorpions or donkey meat?
I would say donkey meat, like an osso buco.
I got a feeling donkey meat's probably pretty tough, Nick. What do you think?
Yeah, probably. Probably a little tough, but that's okay.
That's why you braise it.
All right, we can work around that.
But we can work with it.
We can make a little donkey meat bourguignon as well. You know, we're fine.
Hey, let me tell you right now. I'm going to take in little scorpions. I'm going to pinch off that stinger. I'm going to dip them in a little cornstarch, seasoned up with some salt and pepper, and I'm going to serve them, deep fry them, and we're going to serve that shit with just a little honey mustard, just a little bit. And I don't want that honey mustard with mayo in it either. I just want regular honey mustard. That's what I'm talking about.
That sounds good.
Mostly scorpions, right? Dan, what about you, man? What are you taking? You taking scorpions or donkey meat?
Well, donkey meat was one of the original force meats. They used to use it because it was so tough and grind it up and make sausage. And a lot of the origins of salami comes from donkey meat. and I love me some charcuterie. So I'd have to go with a nice, I'd have maybe smoked sausage, donkey meat, maybe a little truffle in there. I think it'd be delicious.
It does just sound weird to say donkey meat to somebody, doesn't it?
You know what? I looked up donkey meat, and did you know what it's called?
What?
I don't know if this is a joke or not, but it's ridiculous. It's poopy.
Of course it is.
I'm not even joking.
I'd rather say donkey meat.
Absolutely. Well, that's where I was going with that, Chef.
I was just trying to see how many different sexual references we were going to get there. We were going to get donkey meat. We were going to get salami. We were going to get forced meat. I mean, Jesus Christ. We got pretty much all of them there in one shot.
Yep.
Ass meat.
Ass meat. There you go. It's a spider steak we learned about. Remember that? The spider steak from our good friend DJ Barbecue.
I heard about the spider steak.
Well, Dan, moment of truth. Your big ass poll on the internet. It's the biggest food poll out there on the internet currently. Where do we stand right now? What's happening? Who's winning in the Dan's big ass poll?
So surprisingly,
Dan's big ass poll.
Yes, Dan's big ass poll.
Yeah, it's the biggest poll on the internet.
Biggest goddamn poll on the internet.
And we didn't get it up till about 8 o'clock tonight. So,
It's just been growing.
Listen, sometimes it takes a while to get Dan's big ass poll up. It doesn't happen immediately. It takes a little time.
But once it gets going, it just keeps going.
Oh, it's like a throbbing poll. Sorry.
We'll get right love to where answer. This is going. All right.
Scorpions versus donkey meat. Dan's big ass poll.
That's on right Nick's OnlyFans page. All right, sorry, we're being professionals here. Go ahead.
Microphones. Scorpions are up 145 to donkeys 45.
Donkeys are
100 apart.
Is that including the mail-in ballots?
There he is. Frank Bellotti, everybody. He's
that was
singer.
Perfect. Thank you.
Scorpion threatened to stab me if I kept counting them.
Oh shit. Well, look, we'll double check that here before we end the program in a bit. But moving forward in this, Dan, you had a great thing article you found that you thought would be pretty fun to hang out here and talk with the boys a little bit about before we get out of here.
Yes. So controversy seems to be running amok these days.
It sure does.
And controversial food is something that I think a lot of people have a lot of passion with. Talking about scorpions, and some people are like, oh, scorpions are fucking disgusting, but some countries you go and they eat scorpions like it's nothing. I don't know if people are still eating donkey meat though, but whatever.
Well, Frank he's asabukuing it.
It's tough. No, I would think it's tough. I don't know.
I gotta double check this really quick with our resident culinary instructor, Chef Nick. Asabuco is a cut of meat, not a cooking technique, correct, sir?
Asabuco is a cut of meat. Yeah, it's the shank.
Thank you. So all right. So let's say I would take the shank and I would braise it and make an asabuco. It's the shank.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, an asabuco is the dish. No.
Let me ask you this: would you put on a pineapple? Would you put it up on a pineapple? Some toothpicks.
I fucking hate you.
Calling it the dancing ass.
One fucking dish.
I'm just curious. Like, I didn't know if it could be like jumping through the water as well. You call it shit like a whale ass or something. I don't know.
I would do it off maybe a polenta or a risotto or something like that.
Sure. Sorry, Dan. I'm taking over your bit. I'm taking over your bit. I apologize.
Listen, all right. So as the controversy begins,
yeah,
let's go. I'm just curious of Frank, you talking all this about asabuco. What if I was to talk about controversial foods, you talking about meats or veggies or things like that, what would you think is something that to be controversial in the food world?
Oh. It's gonna be controversial. I don't know. I think you hit the two. I can't think of that right off the top of my head. Come back to me.
All right, Chef.
Frank said pass.
Controversial. What?
Controversial food. Okay.
What do you think, Nick? What would be a controversial food if someone's trying to start this conversation with you?
Horse meat. I just couldn't do. Or, that's where I would kind of go.
All right. I would think, insects maybe, or if you want to get really down and dirty, how about babies?
Baby?
I don't know. I'm just thinking
of Beal.
I mean,
the
listen,
issue with Beal.
Pennywise now?
It would be controversial as shit, Chef, if you and I sat down and had a baby. I'm sure it would be delicious. My favorite part's a little fontanelle where it's soft. It would definitely be controversial, though.
It would be controversial and illegal.
Well, it depends on where you are. I mean, we could go to a different part of them. You know, whatever. I mean, there's definitely doors we could open that we could try these things. How about that? All right, how about this? Not illegal. How about placenta?
Oh
no. Couldn't Jeffy do that?
Yeah, he did. I think so.
Oh, did he?
I think
yeah.
I think he tanned his and made a loincloth out of it and wears it.
I thought he whipped it into like a meringue of some sort.
Probably. So, Dan, what do you got? What's the point? We're guessing foods here.
All right. So, there's a lot of things. I have a list of five very controversial, and it revolves a lot around how they're made, more okay. so than the idea of what they are. So, like a century egg. Have you guys heard of a century egg? Frank, have you ever heard of a century egg?
Yes, I have, and that sounds uncommon.
Yep. It's preserved for over 14 days, and it gets this real gelatinous, disgusting, smelly, funky flavor with
Asian.
Clay and ash. Asian, yes, very, yes. And it's about the idea of, you know, people do not want to eat these kinds of things. How about...
I don't know if I'm going to eat that. Hang on a second. So how do we eat it? Do you just... You crack it open and eat it. You literally
wait. It sits on a dining room table or something, and it's kind of like a Tupperware dish.
Come on.
And then you just decide that you're just gonna several weeks to several months, depending on what you want to do. And the ash, the salt, and the clay go around it, and it preserves it, and it makes it this like weird, creepy.
I think you peel it, right, Dan? You peel it almost like a hard boiled egg, but it's like a skin that comes off.
Yeah, and it's like black.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nick, would you eat it? Have you?
What's that?
Nick,
have you ever had one?
No, but I know what they are, and God know what I eat one.
You wouldn't even try it?
No, I'm good.
Frank, what about you? Would you try it?
Not a shot in hell.
I'd be like, you first,
and I'd walk away.
Right?
Dan, would you try it?
Yes.
I think I would too. For the gimmick. It's almost like, you know, just a tip, just for a second to see if we're serious.
It's probably disgusting, but
I have no doubt.
I would imagine gelatinous.
Do you put it in a sauce or something? Like, listen, I already expressed my interest and love for honey mustard. Can I make a little honey mustard to go with it?
I'm sure if you can, you know, it's a street food, so you would just want to eat it. I think it's like pickled eggs when you go to the bar.
Yeah.
It's just a whole other level.
Yeah, it's like preserved eggs.
All right.
Yeah. Whole other level.
Sounds like the boys here on that are split. I think, Dan, you and I would do it. Nick and Frank are out. What else you got?
Yeah.
All right. So this one is a delicacy in the Midwest.
Oh.
Fried Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, hell yeah.
Chef Nick.
I'd eat that.
About that.
Yeah.
All over it. Get some fried, battered corn meal.
I'm familiar with that.
Chevy Chase ate 31 of them on Funny Farm.
Oh, shit. I remember that. Nice reference.
It was a good time.
Frank, yes. Rocky Mountain oysters, man. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. They're delicious.
I mean, do they serve them with a sauce? You know, again, a little honey mustard goes a long way.
honey mustard goes great on everything.
Fuck yeah, it does. I love it on salmon, too, these days.
I could picture it as like a carnival food, you know? They got to step shit up in the carnival. So they're like, all right, we're going to just fry balls and have a series of fried balls. Like, not just balls, but cat balls and fucking lion balls and, you know, all kinds of balls.
Lion balls is my nickname in high school. Let me ask you this. If we had the opportunity to have these, or have you had the opportunity to have these? I mean, I've had them, and, you know, the way they pop in your mouth is pretty cool. Frank, have you ever had them?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Nick, have you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. And, of course, Dan, I know you have. You were having them for dinner tonight, weren't you?
No, actually, I never did. I've always wanted to have them, and I have not had them.
They're actually good.
I would definitely try them. I'd actually say that I don't have – there's a lot of things I'd like – I'd eat everything. I don't care. I'd have to try it.
But. Rocky Mountain oysters are definitely up there. I dig it. What else you got for us?
All right. So number three on this list is a sushi delicacy. One that Homer Simpson was familiar with in an episode back in the first couple seasons. Fugu. Poisonous fish. Delicately sliced. If done wrong, you may die. Frank.
Oh, blowfish.
Are we talking about like blowfish sushi?
Yeah, blowfish.
Right? I would definitely try it if it's done by the right person.
My brother's had it in Japan.
Do you like it?
And loved it. He said it was absolutely amazing. But the guy that was cutting it had trained for like 20 years.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But let me ask you guys this.
It's not like we could go whip out an ergo knife and start slicing away, Plum.
Fuck yeah, I got it. I got you. Let me ask you this. Is it delicious because of the lore behind it, or is it actually delicious? I have a feeling it just tastes like a regular whitefish.
I think both. The knowledge that this could kill you,
right?
The little adrenaline rush makes it taste better, right? But he said it was delicious. He loved it.
Wow!
It's supposed to tingle your tongue too. If they do it right, it's actually supposed to numb your mouth and give you this sensation that's like a near death experience.
Damn!
Reminds me of college.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna make it a drinking game. All right. We're gonna get a couple of blowfish. All of us gentlemen in a line with a cutting board and a knife. And we're going to see whoever can cut it the fastest wins. I don't know how to make that a drinking game yet, but I'll figure it out.
The loser gets to eat it?
Yeah. So whoever loses first gets whoever goes last gets to eat the second to last person. We'll figure. I'll write the rules down. I'm going to send you guys an email. I got a plan.
Okay, good.
Yeah. We're going to figure this out. It's going to be great. We're going to do it on a beach out in Montauk. We'll build a fire. Frank, it's going to be beautiful.
I love it.
Dan, what else you got? Sorry, Dan, I'm driving your bit. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
No, it's all right. I was making sushi rice. I got you.
Oh, nice. This is nice.
I want to make sure we're good. Yeah, I got you. Okay, so number two, balut. Balut is a fermented egg of a duck that is literally still fertilized.
That's the same damn. Like you can't have two eggs.
No. This egg is different. This egg is very, very different. We've allowed the egg to fertilize, and it developed an embryo. Okay? Now, this is a 14 to 21-day-old embryo.
I know a lot about
this. And then you ferment it, and then you cook it, and then you eat it. And when you open it up, there's actually like a tiny baby bird inside.
What sick fucking culture is this from?
Vietnam.
Southeast Asia.
Texas.
It's a Long Island duck.
That's a mallard.
Hey, Nick, you've heard of this, haven't you?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Have I had it? No.
Yeah, I haven't.
Would
either.
I? No.
I don't know, man. So I know that lords and kings and whatnot would eat this dish, you know, long time ago. And what they would do, though, is they had to wear a hood when they ate it. Dan, do you see anything about this? They had to wear a hood so it wouldn't offend people.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. They didn't want to be seen?
Well, let me tell you why I know this, because my client was interested in getting some and trying it, and I did all this research on trying to find them. They're really hard to get here.
Yeah. And that's what they told you?
Well, believe it or not, like, people don't like when you eat babies. I didn't realize that.
Wow.
That's news to me. Frank, would you eat it?
That's
no, not a fucking shot.
Let me tell you something. What if I serve it to you cracked open with a little bit of honey mustard?
Well, I mean, that changes the whole dynamic of it.
There you go.
On a pineapple.
Fucking different game now. Dan, what about you? Of course you would.
Yeah, I'd eat it. I'd have to try it at least once. I mean, it sounds weird. The thing for me is the beak. How would the beak go down? Like, that'd be my concern. I'd be eating it, and I'm like, then you feel the beak, and you're like crunching on it. That's
like swallowing a pistachio nutshell.
You worried about the beak? I'm worried about the fucking skull being in my mouth when I bite down.
No, it'd be soft. It's a baby.
As they say,
it's a baby.
Yeah, the insides just juice out. It's great.
Yeah, it's all soft cartilage. Depends on how it's cooked, I guess. Maybe if you osobuco it.
You Sambuco
and dip it in honey mustard.
Hey, listen, I put a little honey mustard with it. It changed Frank's whole perspective. I'm telling you, honey mustard's the key.
Now it sounds a little attractive.
See, there you go. Go ahead. With me. We get a couple of them 100-year-old eggs and one of them fucked up duck eggs with a little honey mustard. I'm good to go.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
All right, what else all you right. got there?
I got one more for you. I got one more for you. All right. This one is the most interesting to me. I remember seeing this, and I'm like, wow, this is incredible. I would totally fuck with this. And looking at my wife and her look of disgust, she was kind of greenish. She wanted to vomit. And I was like, oh, you don't want to try this? And it's called Kasu Martsu. It is the it's like rotting cheese. It has a live insect larva, maggots,
oh, fuck. You know,
kind of swimming through the cheese.
No.
And basically, essentially, it's supposed to be the larva eat the cheese, shit out the cheese, and create this beautifully delicious dish. And as well as eating the animal, which is the little bug that is the larva that's basically just living off of the cheese. So it's a whole cycle thing, and it's supposed to give you this incredible flavor. It's
so the larva is shitting out something you want to eat.
Basically.
Yeah, I'm good.
Basically. Basically, it's illegal in almost everywhere but Sardinia.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. I mean, I'm going to go with my boy Frank, because Frank is the gauge for all things good in my life. Frankie, cheese with larva in it?
What fucking culture is this from?
Texas.
Sardinian, they're Italian, bro.
No, it's not.
It's eye ties, and the French got together and were like, "Yo, just let that thing go."
Frankie's like, "I'd love to have it if I could put a little mayo on it and honey mustard."
That's right.
Oh fuck!
Put it in a grilled cheese. Oh, my own.
I don't even know what he just said there. He said some crazy word. Nick, what about you? You want some cheese with larva in it?
No, I'm good. Take that and your little baby chickens and have a nice day. I'm going to go hang out with Frank and have awesome buco.
That's right.
Listen, I don't think I would even eat that one, Dan. I mean, oh my God.
I'd have to try it.
There's got to be a point where you're like, all right, I got to throw that away.
The lava's moving around the cheese. It's probably not good.
Yeah, it's got like bugs in it.
Oh, it's almost there yet.
Hey, I found this cheese. You want to eat it? I'm like, nah. Hey. But I mean, if there's a white tablecloth, the right ambiance, they got a candle, you know what I'm saying? And they're like, and they present it, you know, on a nice baguette with a little toasted. I'm like,
look,
maybe
I don't care how much bread
top.
You hand me. I'm not eating the bug cheese. It's not happening.
That chef put his.
Like, how do people even come up with that? They just leave it in the fridge too long. They get some lavas. They get some bugs. I'm like, oh, just serve that. It's fine.
Yeah. Think about the first motherfucker who was like, yeah, I'll try it. And you know the rest of the kids started laughing.
This motherfucker.
Exactly. Joining us, friends, right now, we are lucky we catch him here at the end of the program. He's been through hell this past week. Not even a massive death in the family, a murder mystery, or a fucking hurricane could stop him from being on this program tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Chef Jeffy is joining us for a few. Jeffy!
Hey,
Jeffy!
What's up, Jeff?
There he is. There he is. How was your trip, buddy? You okay?
Oh yeah, everything was great, man. Everything was great. So it was weird. Florida's weird. Tampa, especially.
Yes, it is. How was the hurricane? Did you fight it back with your manly arms and show it who's boss?
Yeah, man. I drove across a sea bridge during the hurricane to see if I could, and I could. No problem.
That's a Florida term, by the way, sea bridge.
It was something like that. It was like a bridge. It was like 6 miles of bridge on water.
Let me ask you this. I drove over a creek bridge today.
The water was very high. I'll have to say that, though. It was like wild. It was like
they
the get, water.
They pour ocean. All their weed into water in Florida. I don't know why.
Yeah. It kept saying, like, high water warning, high water warning. And I kept thinking, like, oh, my God. Because it said 18 inches. They were supposed to get 18 inches of rain. And I kept thinking, like.
You kept thinking, thank looked, God that like, they pulled me over. The water is worse off than I am.
18 inches of rain in Florida would seem like 4 feet of rain here, I feel like.
I'm hitting home runs left and right, and no one's giving me anything. It's fucking terrible. Well, we're glad you're back, Jeffy. Quick question for you. Dan showed up. He was pinch hitting for you this evening. Not sure if you got to hear any of the show. But
a little bit before I got home, and then, of course, it cut out when I got near.
Yeah, well, Dan was giving us some controversial foods. Dan, tell Jeffy that last one and see if he would eat it.
Kasu Marzu. It's cheese, rotten cheese with bug larva.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. No, I would never eat that. You couldn't pay me.
Never.
Not in a million.
Not even with honey mustard?
That's...
Not in a million trillion fucking. Because, you know, it's only good if the maggots are still alive.
Right. Well, yes. Let me just. I want to paint a picture for you, Jeffy. What if we cut you a nice, just a thin, a sliver slice of it, but we got a nice little silver ramekin of honey mustard with it?
Silver ramekin?
Oh, guys. I mean, now that you said honey mustard, I'm like.
Fuck yeah, really, see?
I'm really torn, man. Oh, God.
I'm not talking about mustard. That bullshit honey mustard, Jeffy, with mayo in it. I'm talking about real honey mustard.
Who put real, mayo in like, honey mustard?
Oh, like you mix it yourself? Like you would put the honey in the mustard?
Yep.
Get the flock out of here.
Oh, I'm telling you, honey. I know I'm speaking sexy talk to you.
It's pretty crazy. I don't know if I'd be able to handle that. I mean, honestly. I mean, maggots and honey mustard. Homemade honey mustard?
Mm-hmm. Homemade maggots.
Homemade maggots with homemade honey mustard?
That's terrible. The whole thing is terrible.
Local.
I feel sick as you tell me about this, to be honest.
And it's not because of my honey mustard,
though. I feel like we're losing
listeners. Yeah. Well, listen, well, Jeffy, we're glad you're home safe. Nick.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. We can share some of my Tampa stories at another time.
I love it. I can't wait to hear it. Nick, we love you, buddy. Thank you for joining us. We want nothing but good luck for you and hope that things clear up and... You know, I feel bad for you, but if you haven't got down with that lobster pie yet, you got to get one. Dan, where can they get those lobster pies at?
At summershack.com.
Could you put the mic in front of your mouth when you talk?
Oh, sorry. Summershack.com. I was yelling too. Summershack.com. You can get those lobster pies.
Yeah, check it out there for sure. Those things are delicious. Grab yourself one there. So, Nick, again, man, we appreciate your time. You're the man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Great talking and great hanging out. Nice meeting you, Frank.
Nice to meet
you. Always good, guys.
You are the
be
man,
good,
brother.
Nick.
All right, brother.
Appreciate
be
you.
Well.
We'll talk to you on down the road. There he goes, friends. The one, the only, right. Chef Nick Callias. One of my good brothers, man. We love that guy. He's awesome. He's busting his ass right now. He's living in a weird world trying to make the restaurant industry work. So shout out to him. He's
well,
a great person.
You know, did you guys? I don't know if you spoke about this earlier, Plum, but you saw that New York passed a very similar law to Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. We've been talking about it all night. Yeah. It's not
good. Fucked up.
Real fucked up.
The whole thing is crazy, man. I don't know. And, you know, there's just... I don't know if you heard the front end of the show, Jeffy, but I got on the soapbox and preached a little bit and broke some knowledge.
I did. You know, and I don't want to add any fuel to this fire, but, you know, you guys should really check out the world news right now. It's happening in the UK. The army is joined up, and they're going to be going door-to-door and giving out this new vaccine to people because it's mandatory for everyone in the United Kingdom if you want to trade money, travel, go to work.
What are eight but eight people there? They're that's fine.
Okay.
I said beef of vendetta.
Just saying, bro.
Hey, listen, wow. I hear you, man, and we talked about it today a little bit here, in my house, and you know everyone in my family is not going to take it. But I said that if they need people to take it, I would volunteer. I'd do it.
If they need people to take it, I know people I don't like that they can have it first.
Yeah, I'd rather you not take it right now, Plum. Wait a little bit.
Let me ask you this. What if I gain the superpower to make the most amazing honey mustard?
You just made honey. And you put it in a special mustard.
Yeah, what if we can naturally extract honey from you?
Just extract
you become
honey?
B-Man. You become B-Man.
Magically extract
magical honey.
I don't even know where you're going to pull the honey out of my body, but that could be a whole other conversation itself. Jesus. Frank, much love to you, buddy. We love you. Dan.
Love you.
Hell of a job of sitting in tonight, Dan. You did a good job. I think maybe Jeffy might be a little worried here.
Thank you, sir. I was just... No, Jeff, I'm sitting in his big old shoes,
in the big chair.
Walking around, just trying to live this life. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be the guy in the chair for now and doing my thing and just, you know... Trying to be that
all
guy.
Love, man. We all got to be there for the good brother. We're part of the program.
This is why we love Jeffy. Jeffy just loves everybody. Dan, give a couple shout-outs really quick for our guests tonight, man. What a fun show. This is a fast-moving show, too, for Dan to sit in on. We moved along pretty quickly here.
Yeah, we were doing it. We got to the point. You know, we handled the business. We had some laughs, you know, had some fun. It was definitely a good time. We had our guest, Nick Callius, is on IG at ChefNick52. Yeah. You can catch him over there and make sure you hit the Summer Shack.
Yeah, great
and get
spot.
You some of that lobster pie. And if you can get down to the Mohegan Sun, if it's allowed, you go in there, you hang out, you know, do your thing. Hopefully soon we'll get back to having some of that good old-fashioned fun at the Mohegan Sun. And you can get at Lindsay, who was on our guest earlier, Lindsay Santoro, on her IG. It was all good and fun.
And, ladies and gentlemen, please give T's and P's for Alton Brown. I think he's up Schitt's Creek right now. T's and P's. That means thoughts and prayers.
I'll put him in a balloon and send him to the sky.
That's it. Jeffy, did you hear the story about Alton Brown?
Alton Brown?
Yeah, did you hear the story about him?
No, what happened?
Oh, he hates Jews. It's crazy.
Whoa!
It's what he did. I don't know. He hates Jews. It's not my fault. Jeffy,
that's
we can't
crazy.
Wait to get you back on the program next week. We miss you. We'll have everybody around. We're going to hit up I'll tell you right now, on Thanksgiving, we're going to have a best of. We're looking forward to that. In the meantime, and in between time, big shout out to Chef Dan for joining us and sitting in the big chair tonight. A lot of fun on the program. My name is Chef Plum. That's at Chef_Plum on the Instagram. You can follow Dan at Chef1 above all. And, of course, at Chef Frank Bilotti on Instagram. And don't forget the Forking Chef. On the Instagram as well. We appreciate you guys. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this program. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember that food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.